We have a podcast today. Let's go.
Welcome back to the podcast, Live Elevated with Brian Pruitt. I'm stoked you're here. Today's episode is a long time coming. Josh Bodkin and I, we go way back. For those of you who don't know, he's my business partner. We work at the studio together. He is a creative storyteller, photographer, videographer, athlete, husband, father, friend. And so I got so much love in my heart for this man. He's helped me grow in multiple ways. He is a very unique guy. He's taught me how to be more real, how to listen, how to slow down. And he helps me just stay grounded and be more childlike in the way I live life. Staying open, staying curious, things of that nature. I can't possibly say enough about this man, so I'm not even going to try. I love you, Josh. You guys are going to love this conversation about being the creative athlete like him and I are pursuing to embody and moving towards each and every day. So with that being said, enjoy this conversation with my buddy Josh Bodkin. And, well, yeah, enjoy the conversation. We're plugged up. Got the cameras on. Let's go, dude.
I'm nervous.
I'm nervous, too. I've never been nervous talking to you, my buddy. But I figured, Josh, we would start this podcast off with this book, The Creative Act, A Way of Being. I want you to turn open to a page and just read whatever comes, whatever page you turn on.
This is like when I was a kid with the Bible and I needed something and just be like, all right, show me the answer.
Show me the answer I've been looking for my entire life.
Yeah, and then you'd end up in like some random chapter.
Where it's like, put your cloak outside and, yeah, and see if it's wet. No.
All right. Most human beings like to fit in. We adapt not only to the evolving flow of material communing. Oh, no. Let's start that over. It's been a while since I've read out loud.
I meant an actual quote. There's like, if you could turn to a...
I kind of like that, though.
Okay. No, read it.
I'm going to keep reading this.
Keep reading it.
Okay. Let's start over.
Yeah.
Most human beings like to fit in. We adapt not only to the evolving flow of material coming through us, but the boundaries and the templates of the culture around us. Can great art come from conformity?
Mm. What do you think?
I think that's pretty good. I mean, that's huge, especially, I'm just going to dive right into like the creative topic, but as a creative on social media, especially to get views and to do things, you almost have to conform to whatever's trending. Mm. Right. But the great artists that stick out are the ones that do things totally different, which is a very difficult thing to do. And I think I struggle with that a lot because I definitely like look at what's out there, what's trending, like what's doing well. And it's like, okay, let's try and replicate that. Mm-hmm. And I think you can definitely take inspiration from art. And we've talked about this a bunch of times, like great artists steal.
Yes.
Good artists copy, great artists steal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like doing something that's totally opposite of the norm, like that's true art, I think, in my mind.
Yeah, ingenious, you know, like to some extent. And it just takes balls, takes courage to like do something that's kind of different. It's just easier to kind of conform. But what's the balance there, like from a percentage standpoint? Because to your point, if you don't look at the numbers or look at trends or when you think of algorithm, it's just the people, it's the audience.
Yeah.
So if you don't look at that, you could be spinning your wheels.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of that crazy artist who's like, he loves his stuff, but he's a little psycho. Like he doesn't really know. So like, what is the balance there to strike?
Yeah. I think the balance for us is like, it's also our business. So we're fortunate enough that we get to have creativity be a part of our business. So we definitely need to look at those numbers and look at like what people are responding to well, but as far as longevity for our own craft, like if we're just doing that, we're going to get burnt out very quickly. And we've talked about that, like with your YouTube, like, the numbers are important and they reflect like, are people engaged in this? Are people enjoying this? But at the end of the day, if you're not enjoying it, then you're going to burn out pretty quickly.
Spot on, dude. Have you always been an artist, do you think?
That's a good question.
Have you always seen yourself as an artist?
Yeah, no, definitely not. My mom was an artist growing up, So that was kind of like my first introduction to art. Yeah. And it was definitely more of like I wanted to be an athlete. I wanted to be the cool kid. Like art wasn't cool when we were in school, you know, it's like art class was your time to go and goof off. And it wasn't something even until after college really that I was like, this is something that I really want to pursue. And, but to your question, like, did I think I was an artist? No. But was I an artist? Yeah. I think there's a lot of things. I think we're all artists, right? Like, I think everybody's a creative. I think everybody's an artist. No matter what job you have, if you're an accountant or whatever you do, like, we all have a craft that we're trying to perfect. And we all have emotions that we're trying to express, which I think at the end of the day is art, right? Like, wow. We're all trying to express our point of view of the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I've always been an artist, but never considered myself an artist.
That's beautiful, man. I think that's true for everyone. Like, to your point, I was thinking the other day about, well, it's from this book, you know, it's like everyone's an artist, but some of us are more conscious of it.
Yeah.
So we create all the time, to your point. We just don't know we are all the time.
Yeah.
So the goal, is that my phone? The goal is to live more and more like consciously, because, you know, for a lot of my life is just like walking around and I didn't realize it, but subconsciously that was the control of my life. I was just like subconsciously living a lot of stuff I wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
But that's really good. So we're all artists. With your mother, because I think I had that same idea, like I wanted to be the athlete and all that. But you are the what we talked about yesterday, you're the creative athlete.
Yeah.
So how do you find that blend? Because you are like so much in the fitness, but you are a super creative as well. So what's the balance there?
I think it goes back to like whatever you do, you can be an artist at. And like whatever it is, like I think your art is your fitness, right? Mm-hmm. Like you love having that aesthetic body. You love, like, yeah, you do the creative stuff as far as like making YouTube videos and stuff, but I would argue that your actual fitness journey is a creative journey as well. Just like it is with if you're an accountant or an actual artist, like there's different journeys that people have. And yeah, I don't think an artist or a creative can be defined by just people who are in the arts and crafts.
Yeah.
Right. So I think being an athlete and being the best person that you can be is a form of artistry. Like if you think of like Michael Jordan, like he's an artist, 1,000%. Yeah.
Freaking the goat on the wall right there.
Yeah. Like if someone's to argue that he's not an artist in his craft, like, yeah, I think being an athlete is just as much of an artistic journey as being a painter.
That's good, man. I think too, no matter how intangible it seems, cause I look to you and you're a video guy, photographer, you're a storyteller. Like you're obviously so much more than video and photographers, but that's how you capture stuff and tell a story. And that's very tangible. I can go and watch a movie, go and watch a documentary, but I look to myself and I go, what's your art? And it's like, I don't know, it's talking, it's connecting with people. It's my journey and my body, like you said, to some extent. It's like, it's much more intangible, but it doesn't negate or make me a lesser artist.
Yeah.
It just is less tangible.
Yeah.
And then I was going to say too, with like Jordan, you brought that up. I could be wrong. But that's kind of what would separate us from AI in the future or robots and technology. Technically, I guess you could teach a robot or AI to be creative and like have an artistic style of expression.
Yeah.
But like when you look at Jordan play, he's got like such a unique style.
Yeah.
And then you have such a unique style. And that's very hard to replicate as humans or as robots. So that's like the beauty of the human experience too.
Yeah.
Is that artist, that imperfection basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. I think there's a lot of, especially in the video space of like AI is going to take over our jobs and like, it's going to be a tool to make things easier. I believe like, I think you're exactly right. Like art is an expression of the human experience at the end of the day, which will never be replicated by AI. I think humans will be able to use AI to show whatever emotion it is that they're trying to create. And to go back to your point about your art is less tangible. I would say like, what's the point of art in general? Like what would you think the point of art is in general? Like if someone's making a painting, what are they trying to accomplish with that?
To create an emotional response or a change in consciousness.
Yeah. Based off of that artist's own experiences and their own perception, right?
Yeah.
Which, what do you do every day?
I eat food. I go to the bathroom.
You share your experiences with the world, right? Through the podcast, through Instagram, through your storytelling, through your fitness journey. Like, you are sharing your perspective of the world to everybody else. Like, that's your art. So that's why I think everybody is an artist, because everyone has an opinion. Everyone has their own perspective. Everyone has their own life experiences. When you share that, that's art.
It's fire, JB. Your perspective is your power. Did I send you that last night?
I don't think so.
It's a visual. It was in line with our conversation, but it's like, your perspective is your power.
Yeah.
And to your point, when in the world of AI in the future and automation and everything, efficiency goes up, you know, productivity goes up for sure. But like, you just being yourself and like being more you and being authentic, like that's the niche, that's the niche or whatever. Like, you can stand out. I feel like that's the same idea of like, as a room gets darker, the light becomes brighter. It's more obvious, let's say. Mm-hmm. I think as the world moves into the future of automation and AI, if you're just yourself as a human and you just embrace the spectrum of emotions and experience, the highs and lows that come with it, and you're just real about it, then you'll shine brighter than you would have in a lighter room, if that makes sense.
1,000%. I think an encouragement to myself and to anyone else who's like, I don't feel like an artist. Mm-hmm. I think the number one thing you can do is have experiences, right? Like, it's tough to create art if you're just sitting in a room all day thinking about being creative. Mm. Like, you need to have human experiences to be able to have art. And like, we've talked about that before. Like, how do we create cool YouTube videos? How do we create cool content? It's like, do cool stuff. Like, find, like, go experience life. Like, you're not going to be able to portray your perspective of life if you're not living your own life. And I think living it to the fullest, that's the best form of art that you can do.
When you say experiences, like, go experiment, you just mean like, go try stuff, go do stuff, put yourself out there.
Yeah, be curious. Like, being curious is, we talk about that childlike wonder a lot, like having that childlike wonder. As adults, we can get into the routine of life of, all right, I'm waking up, this is what I'm going to do today. Nothing new, really. I'm going to do the same thing that I did yesterday. Like, that's like, great art doesn't come from that. It comes from experiencing new things, talking to new people, having a kid.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, new dad here. Josh just had his, keep calling you JB, but you just had your first child, and things are obviously drastically different. You said yesterday, which I agree with, for the better. Everything's different and everything's changed, but it's for the better. And it hasn't impacted your life in the negative as much as people like led you on to believe. Like, oh, like the sleep, or, oh, like, dude, you're not going to be able to do this or that. It's like, or that's just that person's reality.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be yours.
Yeah.
And so technically, that said, like, the goal is to have an ever-expanding perspective that just allows you to stay open and gives you a more optimistic and expansive way of life.
Yeah.
Like, just because in the book, again, he's like, the quote I read to you yesterday was, be aware of the issue of thinking that just because you've done something a certain way, that's the best way it can be done.
Yeah.
It's like the fallacy or the pitfall or something like that. And that's so freaking true. So, so many questions. We'll dive into fatherhood. It's so cool to like sit down and talk, because we talk every day at the studio, but we also never document our conversations.
Yeah.
And every single day we're like, holy cow, like, that was fire. Like, we talked about whatever it may be, something related to God or consciousness or life's purpose or something dumb and stupid, but we just have a hippie.
It's probably good that it's not all documented.
Honestly. Thank God. We'd be in jail.
Yeah.
They'd be like, yo.
People would think we're crazy.
Yeah.
Lock them up.
I think they do that. They know that already.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good point. So let's take a step back before we get into some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I want to talk about journaling, writing, more creativity stuff, being a dad. But when we first connected, so you and I know each other through our wives.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that, just to give people listening more context, watching more context. Because you do, at this point, you know me better than a lot of people, so you have a cool perspective. But let's rewind back to that first meeting. We met through our wives. We hit it off with a mutual interest of Joe Rogan and maybe stoicism, maybe aliens, something like that.
Probably the moon.
Probably the moon, exactly. So, and then I guess what happened, this is where I'll stop. What happened when you basically were about to make a jump out of corporate or out of the 9-to-5 safer job,
yeah,
and you wanted to do something artistic, and I think you posted on Instagram, right?
Yeah. So I, after college, got a normal job working in biotech. It was cool, like we were doing good work, but it was definitely like the mundane 9-to-5 classic job inside a lab all day long. So left that and was a boat captain for a while, started doing some like video stuff on the side for them, and then kind of realized like, hey, I love this video stuff. And it was always something I'd done in the past, like I'd done snowboarding videos, skateboarding videos growing up. My mom gave me a camera when I was like 10, 11 or something. She had her camera that she let me use all the time. And had a photography class in high school, but it was never something where it's like you can make a career out of this, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think Instagram and content creation kind of only just started getting to be a big thing when we left college, I would say, maybe like during college a little bit. But started to pick up some side work and kind of left the full-time job with no plan and no clients lined up, really. I think I had like one client lined up, one job.
Like good business model.
Yeah, I had like just enough to get by for the next like month or two maybe.
Yeah.
Made the leap, and that's a big thing. Like there's never a good time to make the leap. Like people, I think, sometimes try and save up. I need a year's worth of savings before I make the leap to pursuing yourself. But at the end of the day, like, obviously, I'm in a much different place now because I have a kid and I'm married. Back then, I was dating Gabby, but we weren't married and didn't have a kid. Like, my bills weren't that high. The risk was a lot lower. But I think at the end of the day, like, I looked at it as the only way I'm going to fail is if I give up. Like, that's the only, like, I can always find some sort of work. It might be awful work, but I'm going to find a way to make this work. And that's been my mentality for the last, I think, 7 years now that I've been in business. And there's highs and lows. Like, there's great months and there's really slow months. Usually the great months are after the slow months because I start scrambling and freaking out that we're not going to make money the next couple months.
Yep.
So it's definitely a journey. But through the whole thing, there's never been an option of, like, I'll go back and get a new job or get a 9-to-5 job. Like, that's just never been an option anymore in my head. I think that persistence and consistency pays off and things compound out year after year after year, growing the business. Definitely could not imagine my life any other way now other than working for myself, doing what I love.
Because it's so, it just feels so aligned. Like why is it that you can't see yourself kind of reverting back, or maybe why it even feels like reverting back? Like, is it because it's so aligned and feels so
good? I think people are just built differently. Like, there's some people who are great, like my father-in-law, for example. He is an amazing example of, he loves life, he enjoys life, he works a normal 9-to-5 financial job. He does amazing work at that job, comes home, enjoys being with his family, goes on amazing vacations, paddleboards on the weekends. Like, he loves his life. He created a great life for himself. You can do that working a 9-to-5. Totally. Like, I'm not saying everyone needs to be an entrepreneur. But for me, I needed that freedom. I needed to have my work be a creative process. I enjoyed depending on myself as well. Like, I enjoy that I'm the last person that I answer to every day. Like, if I do a half-assed job, like, that's on me.
100%.
If I do an amazing job, that's on me. I think people are just built differently. And I encourage people who want to do that to pursue it. People that don't want to do it, like, don't pursue it. Like, you can live a happy, fulfilled, purposeful life working a 9-to-5 job.
100%.
But if you have that inclination of, like, I want to start my own thing, biggest thing I say is go do it. Like, there's never going to be a good time to do it. And if you completely fail, you'll end up just back where you are right now. But the only way you will fail is if you give up.
Like,
you can always find a way to make it work.
And you'll be a lot wiser, you know, even if you fail, like, failure is never final unless you do give up, to your point. So it's like, even a failed business, I mean, every single one, but it's like all, you know, I said it again, most of the wealthiest people in the world have had failed businesses.
Yeah.
If not
multiple.
Yeah. Multiple. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, it's a learning process, and I love that, man. You can't ever fail unless you actually just give up and quit. Mm. And then I think the what I got there too is if you have that desire, if you have that like nudge or that inner fire that seems like it's not going away and you're playing it safe, you know, the only way to get that to go away or to grow that rather is to put yourself out there and maybe take a risk and build up a side business on the side, you know, build up some business on the side.
Yeah.
Your father-in-law is a stud, by the way.
He is.
He's a man. He's a legend. Yeah. And so, yeah, everything you said is spot on. And that's a perfect example of 9 to 5, very traditional, but, you know, it makes it work for him.
He's chasing passion. That, like, we can talk about that later, but that's the biggest thing. Like, whether you're self-employed, have your own business, working 9 to 5, like, do it with passion.
Yeah.
Like, do it to the best of your ability. Don't half-ass things. Like, that's not going to give you fulfillment. That's not going to give you passion out of life. So if you're an accountant, financial person, if you're a bartender, whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability. That's a win.
Amen, bro. 100%. Yeah. So good. I love that quote. It's like if you're an artist, if you're a painter, if you're a bartender, if you're a CEO or if you're a janitor, like you freaking sweep those floors like it's the Sistine Chapel. Yeah. Like you make that your Sistine Chapel. Yeah. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, I actually have a really cool story about that. So we were in Italy with my in-laws and the family, and we went to this beautiful lake, like the Swiss Alp Lake, beautiful. And we're on this little island touring this like big villa museum thing. And we walk outside and there's this bathroom that's probably, I don't know, 500 years old or something and looks just kind of like old, gross, nasty from the outside, but we had to go to the bathroom and be on the water all day long. So we're like, oh, well, let's go.
Sounds like our studio.
Yeah. So we walk into this old bathroom just expecting it to be disgusting.
Yeah.
And there's this sweet old lady in there who takes like, I don't know, two pennies or something as a payment to go use the bathroom, which is very standard in Europe to pay for the bathroom. But these were the cleanest bathrooms I've ever been in my entire life.
Whoa.
Every single centimeter of that bathroom was pristine, clean. And this lady was just a happy, cute old lady.
Wow.
She was genuinely probably 75, 80 years old.
Wow.
And just that was her craft. She was cleaning those bathrooms and she did an incredible job at it. And like, I want to go back and do a documentary about her because like just her vibe and like her aura was just so beautiful that she cared that much about those bathrooms that it was the best bathroom experience I've ever had.
Damn.
And we all walked out of there like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, you're telling it years later.
Yeah.
And it was across the world.
Yeah.
That's insane the impact you can make. I mean, I think we know that at least subconsciously. But yeah, it's like the impact you can make in a moment. Yeah. That was a moment of your life.
Yeah.
Yet it's changed how you see things.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, like, am I going to do a good job in this video? It's like, well, that little Italian lady did an amazing job cleaning the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do the best work that I can.
I wonder her method, what it was. Was it every single person after every single person just immediately clean?
Yeah.
Or was it like 9 a.m., leave, come back 12 a.m.? Yeah,
I think she was in there all day long.
Yeah.
I think it was like...
So continual cleaning.
Yeah, yeah, continual cleaning. When one person left, she was in there cleaning.
Well, you know what they say, Josh. Cleanliness is next to...
Godliness?
I think that's the one, yeah.
Well, you're pretty far away from God.
I'm pretty ungodly. Yeah, I need to work on that. God help me.
Yeah.
Give me the desire to be clean.
Speaking of cleanliness,
organized.
I want to talk about this studio space we got.
Yeah, well, that was the point of bringing up that first part of the studio, which you opened beautifully. The later end of that is you posted on Instagram and shared that with the world. So,
yeah.
So then I commented on that photo,
which we weren't really friends back then. You know, like we had that one interaction talking about aliens and the moon.
Yep.
And yeah, you commented saying like, this is epic. I'll maybe be a part of it someday or something.
Yes. I have a screenshot on my phone. I'll add it to the video. But I was like, dude, it's sick because I felt that same, you know, what's the saying? Like what's understood doesn't need to be explained.
Yeah.
And like what you see in someone else is what you see in yourself as well.
Yeah.
So when I saw you taking that step, I was trying to figure out who I was, what's next after baseball, who am I? You know, like what's my self-worth identity? And then I see you doing that. And that was like it was basically like a prequel to my story.
Yeah.
Like it was like a prereq or whatever. It happened before. And so I knew I was going to step into that. And that's why I gave you that compliment.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'd love to be a part of it. Something like that.
Yeah.
And then
which at the time made no sense.
No.
Like how is Brian going to be a part of what I got going on?
Well, in that moment, I stepped outside of the time-space continuum. And I saw things as they are.
Yeah.
And I knew.
beautiful.
I knew. So yeah, I knew we were soulmates.
Yeah.
What?
Huh? Soul wives listen to this?
Soul brothers. Well, you know, soulmates, you know, whatever. Soulmates, soul brothers. But okay, so I was like, yeah, I'd love to be a part of it. Fast forward however many years.
6 years.
Yeah, 6 or 7.
Yeah.
You hit me up one day looking for, you were like, I'm trying to get a brick and mortar in-person space to work. And this is right after COVID. This is right after I kind of stepped away from Pfizer, or at least was going to, kind of in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And so.
And we've become friends at this point because you'd moved back to Sarasota.
Yeah.
My wife and I were in Sarasota.
Yeah.
We've been hanging out a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. Had you left Pfizer when you came to the studio, or were you still kind of with them?
When did we move in here?
February 22.
Yeah, I got the call in January that I was no longer with the company.
Because you didn't have you had a scooter for the first.
That's right. It was, dude, I mean, God's timing is wild. It was right then where a company car got taken away.
Yeah.
I was driving Gigi's truck for the most part. And then I bought, we had bought a scooter, and that was my main means of transportation.
Yeah. I miss that, Brian.
Me too.
That was a good Brian.
Oh, dude. I was just, actually that video of me dancing earlier, that was that Brian.
That was a good Brian.
Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. Like I remember 3 months or so, January, February, March, it never rained.
Yeah.
And I could drive the scooter every day. It was beautiful. And then I started seeing the writing on the wall. I'm like, oh, in Florida in the summer, it rains every single day. I better get a freaking set of wheels before this thing happens. So. But yeah, so we came in here. What do you think, so for those of you who don't know, the studio I always talk about, the workouts, the cold plunge, and you know some of the stuff you see, my podcast room, this is in a studio that we call Pathos Studio, right? And you can maybe share about why the word Pathos resonated with you, but what is this place done for you in your journey with business and maybe as a creative?
Yeah.
As I check my camera.
Yeah, yeah. I think more than a physical space, and like you and I have talked about this, like it's not a beautiful warehouse, right? Like it's our next door neighbors are electricians and like plumbers and like blue collar working people. So like this is definitely not like your standard like beautiful warehouse studio, right? So like it's not as much of the space. Like we've made it our own. We've painted everything black. Which was like step number one.
We were like, when in doubt, paint it black.
Yeah. Dude. So it's definitely got good vibes, but more than that, it's just like the relationship that you and I have of like, we're both on the same journey. We both have the same passions, the same kind of drive for life. We want to make a difference in the world. We want to do something purposeful. And so like that vibe that we have in here, like you can feel it when you walk in here. Other people feel it when we walk in here. We can talk a little bit about when we said like no more giving each other crap.
Absolutely should.
Like we kind of had a mindset because like everyone knows like bromance is you just rip on each other.
Yes, especially the athletic background. Like that's very normal. Like locker room kind of lovingly busting each other's balls.
Yeah, the more you make fun of someone, the more you love them, basically. Yeah,
you're more comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. And so like we'd gotten pretty deep into that, making fun of each other every time we walked in the studio. It was fun, great, love it. But one day we kind of had a mindset shift of like, let's maybe like just be super encouraging to each other. See how that feels. And it definitely changed the vibe. And then anyone else who came into the studio were like, let's just like bombard them with compliments. Not in a sarcastic, demeaning way, but like in a genuine, like, let's give these people some good compliments to make them feel good so that people have a different feeling when they leave the studio than when they came.
Yeah.
And I think that was powerful. Like we were encouraging each other, like saying genuine encouragements. But as far as the business side of things, like I think you and I have business talks all the time about creativity, and like I've definitely grown in my creativity a ton from being in this space. But I think even more than that,
thank you.
Just as a person, I've grown a ton being around you. Obviously, fitness journey is like goes hand in hand with being in a space with you, working out, doing daily reps, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But like diving into spirituality more, like that is something that. I grew up in an evangelical Christian church. I went to college, kind of had, like, I never fell away from my relationship with God. Like, I always had a relationship with God, but I definitely fell away from, like, the establishment church of, like, these are the beliefs that you have to believe. If you don't believe these things, then you're going to hell.
Sure.
So that was definitely a journey.
Seems a bit toxic.
Yeah. You've helped me a lot along that journey. and like just being a better human and experiencing life more. Like, I think you and I talk about being present all the time. Like, we talk about things that I don't talk about with most of my friends. Like, yeah. Most of my friends, well, first of all, if someone tries to talk about sports with me, it's just way over my head. I can't talk about sports.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Super Bowl is like, I mean, like, who's playing? Yeah. Like, the day of, I'm like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and I have conversations about life and, like, how a lot of them are metaphysical and get a little bit more philosophical than we probably even understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, for
sure. And I love that side of things. But even just, like, the day-to-day things of, like, fatherhood, how to be a good husband, yeah. How to be a good friend, like, those things, to me, stick out way more than anything else from being in this space together.
Powerful, dude. I think I resonate and echo everything you said, because I think this was, it's always in God's hands, and it's always God's timing with everything, whether it be business, relationships, children. It's all God's timing, and like, letting go is something that is consistent across all walks of life and cultures. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the most powerful thing you can do? Sometimes it's like letting go,
yeah.
And letting God, as cheesy as that sounds, but like letting go to a power that's way beyond you. And so, yeah, I mean, I mentioned all the time, like, it's crazy to see the difference in myself just over the years, over the months. And a lot of that has to do with you. And a lot of that has to do with conversations we have. You know, you creating a space too, like, you create a space of an invitational space where I'm free to like bring up something stupid or profound. Like, you might give me a hard time because it might be really dumb. Like, is the moon, you know, flat or is it round? But, or maybe have we been there or not? But like, you have a very, it's just like an invitational, open demeanor. And that's really helped me. And then I told Ryan, like, bro, just the talks we've had about life and business and the stress that comes with, you're hunting, you're eating what you kill. Like, yeah. If you don't make it happen, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, your family doesn't get fed. Like, there's pressure, yeah. There's real stuff. And that's something that, you know, you don't have to deal with as much in a safer mm-hmm. environment with a salary that's just given. Yeah. So, you know, we've cried together. Mm-hmm. I've cried with you. I've been real with you, and you've always just been there as like, dude, I'm here for you, bro.
Yeah.
And I love and appreciate that about you, and just want to say thank you, bro.
I received that, man. Yes. Right back at you. And I think, like, to build off of that brotherhood, because there's a lot of guys out there that don't have what we have, and I think more guys are craving it than you probably think. Like, your best friend, like, think about your best friend, like, for the people listening, like, that guy has things that he wants to tell you that he might not tell you because of that, that, like, barrier that we put up as men is, like, I got everything figured out. Like, sure. My business is great. Making a bunch of money. Family, great.
Yep.
Relationships, great. Everything's perfect. I'm crushing life right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's the story we tell everyone, right? It's like, don't be afraid to be open because everyone's going through stuff. Like, everyone has problems. Everyone's going through things, and people can help you out. Like, we've encouraged each other a ton in all those spaces, and also just encouragement. Like, guys, I feel like, are so scared to give another guy a genuine, like, encouragement. Like, hey, man, like, when I told you yesterday, like, you're really good at listening to people and hearing what they say and not responding with your own opinion right away and kind of taking it and mulling over it.
Mulling, that's the word.
Yeah. Before you come up with a response. Like, yeah. I feel like guys don't hear those, like, compliments that often from other guys.
Yeah.
Because we're scared of, like, oh, it might sound like I love the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He might. Yeah.
And even, like, so saying silly. I love you, like, you can say I love you to another guy. Like, that's totally, like, we say it all the time. It used to be like, I feel like when I said, like, I love you to my friends, it was always like, I love you, man. Like, it was never like, I love you, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're a good friend.
Right.
You're one of my best friends. Like, you're a brother to me. Like, I love you. Yeah. Like, that's, like, something that guys need to say more, I think.
Why do we have such an aversion to that?
I don't know. It's probably something evolutionary.
I mean, it does feel vulnerable.
Yeah. I think, we're supposed to put this strong front of, like, we do have everything figured out. I think there definitely is a time for that. Like Ryan talked about, like, there's a time to be that fierce warrior,
for sure.
Father figure who does have everything figured
season,
out.
Season, time and place for everything.
Yeah, I think we talked about this when Gabby was going through the birth of our child. Like, that was a time for me to be strong and not show as much emotion.
Sure.
Like, because I was like, watching the woman I love go through that much pain was heartbreaking for me. Like, I wanted to give up within a couple of minutes, but that's a time that I needed to be strong and be there for my wife. So that's time to not show emotion.
Wow.
And I think growing up, like, there's a lot of like stoicism around men, and there's like toxic stoicism, and there's great stoicism, but
sure.
Like, yeah, we're just taught to be that strong foundation, which I think is so important. I think there's also the other side of it, of like the whole toxic masculinity thing of like, that's taken over and now men are just becoming soft. Like, yeah. I'm not preaching that at yeah. all. Like, I think it's the whole be a warrior in a garden, not a gardener in a war.
Facts.
Like, we need to be those strong men for our families, in our businesses, in our relationships, with our friendships. Like, we need to be that strong person. But it's okay to be vulnerable sometimes too, in a safe place where you can have those conversations.
I heard, that was beautiful. I heard Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the video, but he says he was asked if he was a lover or a fighter. He goes, I'm both. He's like, I'm a lover, but I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
He's like, if you don't fight for what you love for, like, what do you have?
Yeah.
Something like that.
That's so good.
And I was like, dang, that's freaking. And the funny part was, to this conversation, he said that and then realized maybe how corny or what did they say, cringe, which I think people who say this is cringe, I think you're cringe. Let's just be honest. Like, I get people who will say on my page. I'm like, you leaving a comment on my page that it's cringe is more cringe than that. So I don't use the word cringe because I don't like putting negative stuff out there. But he realized it kind of came off that way.
Yeah.
And then he like kind of got up and like shifted the energy. But I was also like, but dude, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And that's a microcosm. It's an example of where our culture's at, where guys can't share what's true for them because they're thinking about how it's going to be perceived.
Yeah.
So I love the full circle. We're not made to be soft. We're not made to be toxically overbearing and stubborn.
Yeah.
There's a middle ground. There's always a third option, a third way, a third way of seeing, third way of being. That's both and.
Yeah.
And it's wholehearted living. That's what it is, dude.
Yeah.
I think it's like we're shattered. Our hearts are shattered. And what happens there, I think, for my life, if I have hurt or pain, we put on armor and we try to heal that versus we try to cover it versus heal it.
Yeah.
So I think the goal is wholehearted living, and that can only happen with vulnerability. Yeah. Like, it's like surgery. You have to be willing to be cut open to heal the wounds instead of just covering it up.
Yeah. Love that.
So, it's super good, man. You mentioned your journey with faith. I think that's really cool because we've had so many good talks.
Yeah.
And I think the bottom line for both of us is like, we want to stay open, want to stay learning.
Yeah.
We're very much like people who don't jump to conclusions about others.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're not perfect, unless you are.
We're
not perfect, but I think we're growing in our understanding of the fact that how I see someone is really like more of an indicator of like myself.
Yeah.
And we project a lot of times. So I think we're more understanding than we've ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that been like? You mentioned like you grew up in evangelical Christian traditional church.
Yeah.
And I think the downside of that, of course, there's plenty upsides of like
for sure.
having faith and having structure, having you know, rules and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the downside is definitely what you've experienced is feeling like you're like running from hell. Like you're just trying to get out of hell.
Yeah.
And it's very fear-based, and then it's very legalistic in some in some sense. So what's been the journey like for you? I guess how is it describe the freedom maybe in like letting go of that and like being open to something different, and where are you at in your search right now?
Yeah. We could talk for hours and hours about that. But yeah, I think for me, the biggest thing, the biggest realization that I've come to is I'm never going to have all the answers.
Really?
Like, I think for so long, like, especially in the church, I was like, well, all these things need to make sense for me before I can say like, yes, that's what I believe. Mm. So I feel I've let go of that now. Like, I don't need to have, like, everything doesn't need to make perfect sense. Like, it doesn't need to be scientifically factual, historically factual, faith, spiritual. Like, it doesn't need to check all the boxes for me, because I think I think if we try, like we've talked about this, like if you try to define God, that's not going to happen. Like if we try and like put a, okay, this is exactly what I believe. I believe that the God is the energy of love that's out there. And you can try to describe it as best as you can. Like we can try and describe our beliefs. But at the end of the day, like we're trying to describe something that's indescribable.
It's like an ant trying to describe mathematics.
Yeah. Yeah. On a small scale.
Yeah.
Like it's even greater than that, right?
That's like best case scenario.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Like, yeah, the ant has way better chance than we do.
For sure. Especially with AI.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of, I think, where I'm at right now of, like, letting go of the trying to figure it out for myself and just kind of being open and seeking and going for that relationship as opposed to going for the checking all the boxes of like, okay, this is what I believe in now.
That's great. You mentioned your friend. What was that idea? Yesterday you said you had a conversation about, I'm not sure what his faith is exactly, but basically he asked you that question at the end and that kind of sums it up for you.
Yeah. Yeah. He said like, are you seeking? And yeah, I'm seeking, like I'm open. I'm like, I'm not holding on to specific beliefs that I've grown up with. Like I'm open to experiencing what God has for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I still, not to say I don't enjoy the theology of religion. Like I love listening to Dr. Troy at Suncoast. Like I love listening to the theology of things and like hearing things from a new perspective. I think that stuff's important, but yeah, at the end of the day, just like, I'm not gonna figure it out. Let's enjoy this experience that we have now. And like I'm a big believer of like we can experience heaven right here on earth, and that's done through however you describe it, like following God's plan for you, being the best person that you can be, becoming more, like chasing your passion. Like those, to me, all those statements are the same thing. And all those things lead us to like that higher way of living.
Which is now, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the present moment and the power of now and the beauty of this moment right now is like it is increasingly being like it for me, it's increasingly becoming more important that I stay there, because it is easy to kind of look to the future, look to the past. And then it's a way of being, like you said. I think heaven to some extent can be experienced on earth.
Yeah.
Like, can it be experienced perfectly? I don't know. I mean, but heaven is, I feel, the state of consciousness at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying that there's not a realm and a full
something
perfect
after.
State of consciousness. Yeah. But it is kind of a state of consciousness, right? Because I mean, that's just how we live. And so we have a state of consciousness and we're bombarded with distractions and other things that are kind of less than perfect reality, let's say. Yeah. So maybe the afterlife, heaven, is just like a state of none of that. And you're in the presence of God, like your perfect presence. There's no getting out of it. It's better than you could ever expect and imagine. And I just, for me, I just always err on the side of, I always like fall back on God's love, God's goodness.
Yeah.
You know, I think I always, for people who don't follow, let's say, or ascribe, is that the right word?
Subscribe
this transcript. They don't subscribe to Christianity, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
I call, like for an atheist, I'd be like, well, if you don't believe in God, just the highest good.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you think of the hierarchy or the pyramid of, okay, here, this is good for a certain amount of people. This is good for, you know, white people, black people, older people, younger people.
Mm-hmm.
Like think of all of that reaching its pinnacle, the highest good.
Yeah.
That's God. Like God is the good.
Yeah.
And it's perfect love. And I think like just opening up to that is a new way of seeing. Because growing up, I watched a lot of Jesus cartoons in Moses and Noah and all these different things. And a lot of times we can get into that place as adults and think the Bible is a cartoon book and a storybook.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's stories. But it's like so much deeper. Yeah. They were real.
It's a human experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was messy too.
Yeah. Like
if you read the Bible, you'll be slapped in the face with some stuff you never expected.
Yeah.
That's why it's beautiful.
To bring it kind of like full circle too, going back to like creativity and art and like how that ties into religion. Like that for me is spirituality and religion. And like to dedicate yourself or to do the best work that you can possibly do as a human being, to like be the best person you can be, like that's spiritual thing.
Wow.
Like that's getting closer to God. That's like something like love. Like love for someone doesn't have evolutionary benefits. Like reproduction has evolutionary benefits, but the most evolutionary beneficial thing you can do is to not be in love with one person, right? But to reproduce with multiple different people. Yeah. Like that's
spread your seed.
For sure. So like being in love with someone, like that's a sign of something greater. Mm. Music. Like how does music help society evolutionarily?
Yeah.
Like I don't think it does. Like music is something that's spiritual. So like when you apply yourself and you be the most human you can be and be yourself, like that's a spiritual journey and that's bringing you closer to God, your creator, to love, to the energy, like whatever it is that you call it, like that is a spiritual journey in my mind.
That's so fire. Which one of those trending reels that I posted last year was you and me kind of like enjoying the present moment in the rain,
yeah,
like meditating crisscross,
yeah,
and the caption was, what if becoming everything you were made to be is really just unbecoming everything you're not?
Yeah.
So as we progress and move and grow and become more loving, stronger, healthier, wiser versions of ourselves, and becoming more, or the creative journey, you're really just like letting go of everything that's not you.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, like I said, the armor and the narratives and the illusions and the lies, that's all not from God. It's all not from love, because it's the illusion. So we have to let that go to step into more freedom. And I think that's, it's super good, bro. The energy of music too, it's crazy. I told you about with Gianna, we spent like an hour dancing and singing together over so the weekend. Good. And I think it's so important. Like music is just, I don't know what it is about it. Yeah. I mean, I know it's vibrational and energetic, but it does something to you. And I think at a young age, exposing children to like good music and happy, you know, vibes is like really important.
Yeah, for sure. And like at that age, like they can't, like Harper can barely grab onto something with his hands. Like he doesn't have like mobility. Like, but he understands music. Like he hears music and he either goes to sleep or he enjoys listening to music already, which is crazy.
I wish I was musically inclined or talented.
I know, right?
Be sick if we were creative athlete musicians.
Oof, yeah.
But we can't have it all. We can't have it all, buddy.
Yeah.
Talk about writing. You've always encouraged me with that, and you've been writing a good amount, especially before Harper.
Yeah.
As we know, kids flip everything upside down.
Yeah.
So, you know, survival mode is something that's very real, but then you start to recalibrate, kind of get back the footing.
Yeah.
So what does writing do for you?
So writing for me, it goes back to the creativity. Like I think it's the lowest entry point of creativity. Like if you're struggling to figure something out, like start writing it down. Like I think
on the computer.
On the computer, I like to do journaling, like handwritten. I think Dan Coe has a cool quote. If you don't have ideas, read. If you have ideas, write them down.
Yeah.
If you can write them down, then put them into action.
Wow.
And like that's how you accomplish things. That's how you create things. So for me, writing is just a way to express what's going on in my crazy head, like all those thoughts that I have going through my head, kind of organize things a little bit. But also just like it's almost like talking to yourself. And I almost like to think of like my future self reading this in the future. Like where was I at? Let's get a gauge of where I was at when I was writing this. Mm. And I think it just helps you. It helps you like organize what's actually important in life. Like I always like write down things that I'm grateful for, things that I want to accomplish. And like life gets a lot more simple when you write it down on a piece of paper.
Yes.
Because when it's all like jumbled up in your head, it's like, oh, I got taxes, business, bills, relationships, client work, I got this deadline that I got to meet. Like everything seems very complicated when it's all mixed up. But when you write it down, you see it all there on one piece of paper, like all your problems, all everything can fit right there on one piece of paper. It's like, okay, this is something manageable. This is something that I accomplish. But especially for the person who's trying to like trying to start something new or trying to like start a business, the best place to start is writing. Like it's such a low entry level. Like you don't have to create a video. You don't have to start a business. Like just write.
Pen to paper.
Something. Yeah.
Fingers to keyboard. Yeah. What do you do in your experience when you have writer's block?
Right.
How do you start writing when you have writer's block? Just do it.
Just write. Yeah. Seriously. Like it's, that's like, I forget the guy's name, The War of Art, Stephen Pressfield. He wrote for, he had like writer's block for like 30 years or something before he wrote like his New York Times bestseller.
Wow.
But he said like his biggest thing that changed the game for him was just sitting down and writing something. Mm. Like just write something. Doesn't matter what it is. Like, hey, hello, my name is Josh. Like write, just start writing something. That's what I do in the mornings. Like I have no, like I write those little quotes and I post those cute little quotes on Instagram. But like,
which I love.
Before that, it's just a bunch of gibberish. Mm. Like it's literally just like, woke up this morning, grateful, sun shining, thinking about what I got to do today. I don't really have much time. Man, time's a crazy thing, isn't it? I need to be intentional about my time. I feel like I have less time. So like things build once you start writing things down, right? So yeah, if you have writer's block, I mean, it's the same with any creativity. Like if you're not going to get good at making videos if you're not making videos every day. Mm. You're not going to get good at painting if you're not painting every day. That's something that I think a lot of people don't understand. Like to be like, the only reason I'm not a better videographer is because I didn't video every single day for the last 7 years.
Wow.
Right? Like that's the only thing that's prevented me from being a better videographer.
Wow.
Why aren't you more jacked? Because maybe you missed a couple of days. Like if you do it every single day, you're going to get better at it.
Because you stole my dumbbells.
That too.
That's fire. And speaking of fitness, it's like the same exact thing, dude. What's the hardest part of the workout? Getting in the freaking gym. Yeah. What's the hardest part? Maybe it's putting the shoes on.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the first rep.
Yeah.
But the point is the motivation, the flow, the momentum gets built over time and over really reps.
Yeah.
And you can think about each word being a rep and how the momentum's created there. So best way to start is just to start imperfectly, which I love. I think a good place to end, because we could talk for we need to do more episodes. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to like hearing people's feedback, and like I think people will love this episode, and it's long overdue. But a good place to end would be, you mentioned your future self and writing to your future self. That's pretty cool to think about. And someone asked me once, and I love the question, what advice would you give your future self? Because most of the people would be like, hey, what do you give yourself at 20 years old? But I think this whole conversation is some of the stuff that our 20-year-old self could have used. So shifting our mindset to, let's say, Josh at 60 years old, old, gray, still jacked, to be fair.
Yeah.
But what kind of advice would you give 60-year-old Josh?
Wow. That's a good question.
I hope
by that time I've got it all figured out, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everything will make sense. You'll have all the facts straight.
Yeah.
No more faith.
I think what myself now would tell my 60-year-old self is don't stop. Don't stop.
Believing.
Can you imagine?
Hold on to that feeling.
Like, don't stop moving. Don't stop going forward. Like, just because you're getting older, don't slow down. But I think at the same time, like, you're there. Like, I would tell my 60-year-old self, like, you're there in the present moment, just like I am right now. I'm here. Like, it doesn't matter what age you are, what stage of life you're at. Like, you're there. You're in it. So don't stop experiencing life. Like, keep on living life, no matter what age it is, no matter what you have figured out, what you don't have figured out. Like, this is it. You're in it. So be. Like, live.
Bro, that was, I think, way more profound than you may have realized. Because that's spot on, dude. Any question that you wish I would have asked?
I was trying to think of something funny, but nothing. Nothing came to me.
Maybe more questions to elicit your comedial.
Yeah. Chameleon?
Clearly, my art is not words.
Yeah. No, I do want to, no questions that I wish you would have asked, because, I mean, there's a thousand that we could talk about forever, but I do want to encourage you, not just from this podcast, but from all your podcasts. Like, you are crushing it in this. Don't stop doing this. You are amazing at asking people questions. You're amazing at listening, intentfully listening, which is a huge, huge, huge superpower. I think one of the most underrated characteristics that someone can have is what you have of being able to listen to people. So I want to encourage you on that.
Freaking love that, bro. I receive that. Yeah, I receive you, bro. Next episode, I think you and I, we should kind of have that standpoint, that angle of, you know me better than 99.9% of people.
Yeah.
What questions would you ask me that you think people, that'd be a fun episode.
I like it. No, I think that'd be awesome.
But dude, freaking love you, bro.
Love you, man.
My life is so much better with you in it. Thanks for being here.
Love you, dog.
Guys, thanks for watching, listening, subscribe, like, share with a friend. Leave us feedback. DM Josh. It's Josh Bodkin.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah. At Josh Bodkin, Solar Wave Media.
Yeah.
Chasing Passion, Pathos Media, Pathos Community. We're doing a lot of big things. Stay tuned. The best is freaking yet to come. Much love. God loves you, and we love you too.
Yeah, buddy. Heck yeah, man.
Yeah, buddy.
That was great.
Dude, freaking
that
love
super
that.
Good.
You shine, bro.